You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome back to Talkville, the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast, where each week we go back and watch every episode of the show that changed our lives and maybe your lives, and we discuss it with fans like you. I'm Michael Rosenbaum.
Hello, I am Tom Welling.
And I am Ryan Tellez. I am also here.
Tellez.
You sang it at this at me earlier, and I don't know what it is.
Tay it together. You remember that song?
Tay it together.
Do you remember, Tom, that song?
Yeah. Say you, say me.
That's it. Folks, if you get a chance to call in and leave your questions for this episode, make sure you get some for the future episodes, too. I mean, we need good questions here. You can call our hotline. It's a picture of Tom naked with a line. It's the hotline. Whatever. 213-538-2883. That's 213-538-2883. And follow us on our socials. Tom, do you know what the socials are?
No.
Talkville Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, and Talkville Pod on the Twitter. That's right. We also have a Patreon. Join the Patreon to support the podcast, and we'll write a message to you right after.
That'll be fun to get into the Patreon, because I know you're familiar with it. I'm not, but I know that you enjoy doing it a lot. So
yeah, my podcast, Inside You with Michael Rosenbaum, I got great patrons, and hopefully they're going to stick around. Hopefully not every one of them just leaves to this podcast. Hopefully they support both. That would be nice. And, you know, we're going to be selling merch. So we got to figure out a cool shirt. Maybe it's that design. We started out with the design of the cartoon on a T-shirt. And yeah, maybe that's the first shirt, the first bit of merch. You start out small. You work your way up, you know?
Or like a picture of like Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, but our names underneath them, respectively.
We'd be a lot cooler. Be a whole lot cooler if you did. You know who I called or I emailed before this episode? Because I'm now through four episodes, you know, we haven't had a guest. But I emailed Kristen and said, hey, would you be willing to come on the podcast? So Tom and I have this podcast and it's called Talkville. And so we'll see what she says. I'm hoping she'll come on. And I go, could you watch an episode maybe before you come on? That might be asking too much, because I don't know if they have Hulu in Canada. I really don't. Someone else said, oh, I don't think we have Hulu.
That I don't know, but I can tell you after watching this episode X-Ray, I think my first question for Kristen is, why is your life so perfect?
Are you being funny?
Yeah,
because it's not, because her parents died, and then she's got this. By the way, I'm sorry, I have had a crush on Aunt Nell for 20 years. I just always was like, man, never told her, never really talked to her, never had any scenes with her, but I had a crush on Aunt Nell.
I was gonna ask you, because age wise that could have been a fun cross, and I don't know, when I saw her on camera, I somehow in the back of my mind, I'm like, I remember something about Rosenbaum and her, but I didn't know what it was. Maybe you told me on the side, like, man, she's great or something. I don't know.
I probably told you that I had a crush on her.
That's probably it.
You know what I'm talking about, Ryan? Did you feel that same way? Did you have a little crush on her?
On Aunt Nell?
Yeah.
I can't say that I did. I was not there in person.
I'm thinking about that.
No.
It's too bad we missed an opportunity where you're like, hey, Lana, tell your aunt.
Nah.
But she's attractive. Sarah Jane Redmond?
Can't even say.
Sarah Jane Redmond. Yeah. Sarah Jane Redmond.
Please tell your Aunt Nell I said hello.
Yeah. I mean, I do tell somebody else, hey, tell so-and-so I said hello in the other episode. I said, yeah, I say that. Look, guys, if you're digging the show, if you're watching with us, you know, usually I watch it the night before. That's why I have nightmares. Tom doesn't like to watch it before he goes to bed, so he does it during the day right before, so he's fresh. So how do you watch it? Let us know on the Twitter or the Instagram or the YouTube. How do you watch it? When do you watch it? I know you've probably seen them all, but I'd like to know who is watching for the first time. I know Ryan Tellez right here, our wonderful engineer, he's watching for the first time, and I feel like he's sort of enjoying it.
I am enjoying it.
It's different, right?
It is different. It's going back to the past. It is weird to look at your faces back then and look at your face right now.
I know, I'm old.
I see elements of the same person, but it's not all there.
Nuances, little nuances, things, little things.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy told me about a year ago. He's like, "No, man. You mean you're in good shape? You look like a retired athlete." And my other buddy's like, "You look like you ate Tom Welling." I was like, "Great, guys, this is a lot of fun."
No, I think you actually look good. Actually, you look really good today.
I did a little workout to get ready, try to be a little fresh for this.
Yeah, you look good. All right, without further ado, let's get into season one, episode four. This is called X-Ray.
Yeah.
The title, what's that?
Lizzie Kaplan.
Lizzie Kaplan is the, she plays Tina Greer. Title is X-Ray, as I said. It aired November 6th, 2001. The director was James Frawley. Now, I thought this guy was a real dick at first, and I got into it with him. I remember specifically because he directed the Muppet movie, the original Muppet movie, and I was kind of in awe of him. And I remember he just was kind of rude. He's like, "Okay, as actors, you're going to go over here and you're going to walk over here." And Kristen and I looked at each other and I go, "That's not how we work." I go, let's discuss what we're going to do and not just boss us and tell us what we're going to do." So he goes, "Oh, is that how it is?" I go, "Well, yeah, you're kind of being a dick." And, you know, after I stood up to him, I think we got along for the rest of the shoot. Sometimes you just have to, like, nip it in the bud. But James Frawley, I thought he did a decent job on this.
Is Frawley the name of a Muppet? I feel like there's a Muppet.
Frawley the Muppet. I wonder if he's alive. Is he alive, James Frawley, the director?
No, he's dead.
He died?
You can say whatever you want about him.
Did he really die?
3 years ago.
3 years ago. God rest his soul.
Uh-huh.
I didn't dislike him. I just thought he was a little bit of a dick, and I wish him the best. Writers, Al Goff, Miles Miller, Mark Verheiden, and of course the creators of Superman, Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. Guest stars, Tom said, Lizzie Kaplan is Tina Greer. And the synopsis pretty much is Tina Greer's skeleton her skeleton is laced with meteor rock. She is able to assume any form. She assumes the form of Lex Luthor to rob a bank. Clark Kent discovers he has X-ray vision. Lana Lang discovers her mother was much more interesting than her Aunt Nell ever told her before. And Lex Luthor turns the tables on Roger Nixon, gaining himself an unwilling ally at the Metropolis Inquisitor. Now, the episode opens on Lex Luthor robbing this bank. What my first impression was like, wow, I'm going evil pretty fast. At first, I was like, oh, Lex Luthor is really getting dark, And then everybody's, oh, wait a minute, this was all, you know, someone else is doing. But it was kind of a cool idea to have me rob the bank, going down the street. I bump into Clark. I throw him through a window. I mean, I remember also when I was running down the street, I fell, and I really skinned up my legs. I remember I fell hard because I was wearing these God-blessed dress shoes, and I hurt myself. Do you remember that?
There are a few things that I did remember of this episode. One I didn't remember was the opening. And I was surprised as Lex goes into the bank and he's acting weird and all this strange stuff. And then the shot of you running down the sidewalk, I just remember being like, Jesus, that looks horrible.
Did it look horrible when I was running?
Yeah, because you're in dress shoes.
That's exactly right.
Really fast.
I couldn't run. I remember it was like the dress shoes limited me. So I couldn't run really fast. So I looked kind of stupid, I guess you could say.
Well, it wasn't you running. It was, you know, Tina Greer.
No, it was me running.
One of the things I was going to ask you about, because one of my favorite episodes that we'll get to in a couple seasons is Transference, where I switch bodies with John Glover. And I had to sort of bring on some of his, you know, idiosyncrasies that he had with
Lionel. And did they put you in a room with Tina at all? Or Lizzie, I'm sorry. Did you guys, because I know Lana had to do it, all these people had to do it, but was there any communication of like?
I don't know. I think we might have done the morph together when she morphs from Lex to me and me to Lex.
Hey, how you doing?
I think I had to be there kind of like with her to do that. I believe. I don't recall. But Ryan did some research And he found out that Lizzie Kaplan was in two episodes. Now, I don't know if it's because they used a flashback or she was in another episode, but I don't remember her being in another episode. Do you guys?
Do
you guys out there?
She just has two credits on IMDb for being in Smallville. So I don't know what that is. I can look it up at this moment. But that's what I saw.
I'm going to call her right now. No, I don't know her information. But the opening scene I thought was pretty cool. I thought the morphing was cool. But then again, right away, what are we doing? We're in a Freak of the Week episode. She's infected with meteor. And so you're kind of going, okay, is this what the show is now? When you're watching the pilot episode, there's all these stories going on. And it's really, it's enticing. And it's very effective. And I'm very much into the show. And so I just felt like, you know, like the show is we're adding to the story slowly. So we're integrating storylines, A and B's and C's, slowly progressing during these Freak of the Week episodes. That's fair, right?
I mean, it's quite clear, like by now, episode four. This is going to be our format for the most part.
Right, but it does change where we go really into, we break into character sometimes. We really dive deep into character. It doesn't happen a lot. And when it does, maybe that's why it's so effective, because it's kind of surfaced. We've got this Freak of the Weeks. We've got some, and then we have these little things, these little gems that they give the audience. And then sometimes when they're big storylines or, you know, flashbacks to when they were younger, it's more effective maybe.
Yeah, and I think the Freak of the Week helps bring out character attributes of the guys who are there, the girls who are there, you know, Lana and Clark and Lex. You know, it gives them room to think about their lives and what they're doing, in a sense.
Yeah. What do you think, Ryan?
About the Freak of the Week format?
Yeah.
I think it offers an interesting opportunity for guest actors. So people who were, you know, fans of the show, or people who needed, you know, that one gig to send them over the edge.
It was the hot show to be on.
So I mean, for Lizzie Kaplan, this was like early in her career, and she got to do this like creepy role.
Yeah,
and then I'm sure it led to other things.
Yeah, probably.
She definitely went on to a lot of great things. I don't know if you saw Masters of Sex. She was great in that.
No,
it's a very psychological drama. Very awesome, high caliber cast.
She got an award for Cloverfield. I looked up.
Wow.
A supporting actress. Yeah.
Wow. She really
went on to do a lot of great stuff.
Party Down.
I forgot about Party Down.
Yeah.
Hot Tub Time Machine.
Wow. She really worked. Where our careers, you know, her careers went off in a really good direction.
And then, yeah, 2 years after this, she got Mean Girls, which is probably the first place I saw her.
By the time we shot this episode, I wonder if the show had actually aired yet.
So this, what you shot it? What it, you said it aired in November 2001.
2001, November 6, 2001.
Uh-huh. So when were you shooting it?
I don't remember. I bet we started in August. So I bet we were a couple
July
ahead.
August.
We were a couple ahead.
So if you're a guest star on the show, you really haven't seen it.
Right.
True.
That's true. That is absolutely true. So what happens next? Tina Greer gets confronted by her mother with a large amount of cash, and Tina reveals she can shapeshift into other people. When struggling over whether to keep the money or not, her mother falls down a flight of stairs and dies. That was kind of jarring, and I liked the effect and liked the stunt of falling down the stairs. It was kind of, and I'm glad, I liked that she didn't push her. It wasn't her that really did it. It was an accident.
It's the second mother that dies in four episodes.
And there is a save. There's a save, which we'll talk about soon. But what did you think of the shape-shifting? I thought the effect was pretty cool. It was, you know, it wasn't perfect, but it was probably ahead of its time, and I think it worked for what it needed to do. Did you feel like that, Tom?
I thought it was effective. I, again, watched it on the internet. I mean, as far through an app. So I don't think I got the quality that I would have gotten through a DVD, perhaps.
Yeah.
But I think it told the story really well. I mean, it was creepy.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Tom, I can't tell you how much therapy helps me and helps so many of my friends. Ryan uses BetterHelp. it is just something that it's part of my routine. And BetterHelp's been with us a long time. And guys, the stigma is gone. Getting help and feeling better about yourself and learning things about yourself, understanding is part of the process and so important, so you don't end up old and miserable. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Therapy with BetterHelp is just a good place to start when you want to understand you better. If you're thinking of starting therapy, please give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire. It takes no time at all to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/talkville today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/talkville.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
So then Clark gets a migraine in gym class, and during a rope climbing exercise, he sees through Pete's skin with his X-ray vision, what she's just now exploring. It's kind of like getting a boner in class for the first time. You can't control it. You don't know what you're doing. You're a teenage boy. He's dealing with these other things like X-ray vision. Sorry, that was my analogy. But you know what I mean? He can't control it. He's like, Mom, how do I control this X-ray? She says, well, try to focus. Well, that's what you try to do. But as a teenage kid, you're like, Mr. Kent, would you like to come up and do this problem at the board? No, I'll take the zero. I've got something growing in here. But you fell pretty high up when you're on the rope.
I remember that day. It was a fun scene, a lot of energy. The coach, the gym class coach was really awesome. I remember him being very authoritative. And they were like, okay, so we got these stunt guys that climb the ropes. And I remember being like, I'll climb that rope. And they're like, you sure? I'm like, yeah. Dude, I got like one or two up. I'm like, never mind. This is harder. I've never climbed a rope since I was 10 years old. And it's a lot harder. So with the stunt and everything else, again, Clark doesn't go through the floor, which I think maybe he should have, like
dented the floor.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
right. Because look what you did in episode, I think, 2, Metamorphosis, when you fell on the machinery, you kind of bent it all up. So why wouldn't you dent the floor? But, you know, if you did that, people would be like, oh, what's going on with this guy? You got to kind of suspend that disbelief. So you fell from the rope. You know, you couldn't hardly do it. But like the effect was like, holy shit. Like they were like, Clark, you all right? I mean, good God, you would have been dead. A normal kid would have broken every arm, you know, his arms, his legs. But also you fell down, you turned around, Tom, and then what happened?
Well, Clark accidentally looks in as a peeping Tom and sees the girls' locker room, which was an interesting moment. You have to understand, on the day I was looking at like the cameraman's feet and like 40 other people, I wasn't actually looking into the girls' locker room.
True.
They were describing to me what I was seeing.
That's one of the things with the X-ray is I figured out pretty quick that like if I had someone talking to me about what I was seeing, it made it simpler to imagine it. because a lot of the x-rays, there's no dialogue. It's like that focus and you're looking, and we established it that day. But that's what it was. It's like you're, and it was funny because I don't remember who it was, but they were describing, you know, you're looking into the girls' locker room. They're not wearing many clothes. And then it got a little too detailed and I cracked up.
Because I was like, okay, just take it easy.
That's like when I directed and I was giving you the play-by-play of what's happening. And Tom is doing this thing years later, season six, when I direct an episode. And Tim and Kristen are, or him and, you know, Lana and Clark are walking away. And, you know, I wanted to get a shot of them. I'm like, you're in love. This is everything. This is the man you wanted to be with. This is
watching her walk away.
Watching her walk away. And I'm like showing my hand as it's getting higher. And Tom was like, we got it. Stop it.
Taller? Is she getting taller as she walks away?
She's getting taller as she walks away. We'll get to that episode eventually. If this podcast does well, we hope it does. So we see Tina meeting Lana at her house, and she hints at how great it would be if they lived together, if anything would happen to her mother. Now, here's a problem I have with the show. You know, I think these villains, these meteor-infected people, these guest stars, these characters, they're so bad so fast. Like, you could have made her really likable, and then she was like, she doesn't have any friends. She's a little lizard, like the bug boy, but he was so weird, that kid, that you just wasn't likable. And then you got Tina, who's just like, later on, she gets mad at, like, you, I can't live with you. We're not best friends. You should have said we, and she storms off.
Yes. Yeah. You should have said yes. It would have been perfect, which is a word that is used a lot in this episode. Yeah, it's you only have so much time, I guess.
I guess I know that. I just wish that she was a little more likable. Did you feel that way, Ryan?
Well, it was the same thing with the Metamorphosis episode, where it was someone who like was a friend of the main characters in middle school, and now they're in high school and they sort of developed a little differently.
What I thought was really funny is when she goes to see Lana and they're talking,
and she's talking about how, you know, how horrible her life is and everything else. And she says to Lana, you know, it's something about being unpopular. And Lana's like, oh, that's okay. You're not
unpopular.
You're not unpopular.
That was the nicest thing that she could have said.
Yeah, you're not unpopular. She's going to say, I think you're very pretty. And you, who cares about popularity? It's high school. You know, the next scene that happens is Clark and Martha enter the store, greeted by Tina's mother, who mentioned she is looking to sell the place, where then Martha discovers a wad of cash that just happens to be under the dresser. And on her way out, Tina's mother steals Martha's keys from her purse and then morphs into Clark, who drives the Kent's pickup through town on sidewalks, causing havoc and almost killing Martha Kent. I thought that was a pretty cool stunt. They did go balls out. They were always doing stunts that were difficult, that were eye popping, or you know, I felt like it was a good stunt. And
well, that whole stunt was what they call practical. You know, there weren't many visual effects in that. The truck actually had to make that move. What I really remember is being in that antique store and watching Annette carry a scene. This is the first time I'd been around her where she really carried a scene, and remember just like soaking up like how she moved and how she sort of, I don't know, how she just operated as an actor in that environment. I just remember like watching her as Clark was doing, but like just trying to soak up like her wisdom.
Yeah, she's a great actress, and it was always fun watching her and being on set with her. She took her work very seriously. She was always gentle and sweet and nice to be around, but she also took her work very seriously, whether she was saying a bunch of bullshit, spitting it out, or whether she had a monologue. But she was always there for the other actors. So I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, this was the first episode where she kind of had more to do. She had like act like proper scenes.
Yeah,
to like actually dig into stuff.
Yeah, and I like how she at the end of the episode, she kind of says, "You really like her, don't you?" And you don't answer. You're kind of just like, you know, I don't want to talk about this with my mom. This is fun, comfortable. So right. I dug that. But so, you know, we back at the Kent residence, they put the pieces together in Tina Greer's childhood bone disorder. I missed that. I must have not been paying attention. But she had a bone disorder, and the meteor shower exposure must have had some sort of impact on her ability to shape shift.
It's unclear how she got the kryptonite. I know that she had her character had issues. You know, she wasn't supposed to live past 1 year old. They were talking about, I'm explaining it because you missed it.
But thank you.
Martha Kent knew the whole story and filled us in. And then when you, I thought it was funny because when you come in and in the end, Clark has a line, I know it wasn't you because the real mastermind would have worn a mask.
And I remember Clark looks at you and you look at me and we start laughing. And
that was just us. That was you and me.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that. You just had a big cheesy smile on your face. Then we have in Lana Lang's garage, she discovers an old diary from her mother, causing her to confront her Aunt Nell for lying to her about enjoying cheerleading and wanting to stay in Smallville. So again, this is some backstory. It's nice. It's like this girl who never got to know her parents. She didn't know what they were like. And she's trying to find something to grab hold of, you know, to remember her parents, to remember what they were like. And I thought that was kind of a touching B story. You know, throughout, especially at the end, which we'll get to, where she's alone listening to her Aunt Nell kind of give a speech in the truck and it's raining and it's just
her mom's speech. Her mom's speech, right?
And the tears. I got to tell you, I did get choked up. Maybe I'm a softie, but I got a little choked up from it at the end. Okay. Yeah,
Kristen did a great job in that, sort of selling the idea that, you know, she's trying to find balance in her heart and her future and who she's supposed to be.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Lex, I liked some character development for Lex Luthor in this one. I did. I liked him being confronted by Roger Nixon, the journalist, about his juvenile record and attempts to blackmail him. I like how he turns things around on him and he gets very dark, very Lex Luthor-ish. What'd you guys think of that?
Well, especially when you're outside and he confronts you for the first time. By the way, that actor, I remember thinking like, wow, this guy's a real actor. Like, he's really good. And he confronts you and you're in your convertible and you drive away. And I remember even watching it, you know, this morning, I was like, man, Lex is kind of a wuss right there. He didn't even stand up for himself. But then, of course, it comes back around later.
Yeah.
Literally just dominates it.
I like how he quickly takes the car and just shoots out of there like a rock. And you're like, oh, so he's going to get the best of Lex Luthor, this guy, Roger. Yeah. And then, well,
you had a thing about cars and driving, which I agree, because a lot of times they don't want to give you a really nice car because you're an actor. They don't trust you. And then number two, when they let you drive, they don't trust you because you're an actor. And three, they don't want you to go fast. And I remember you at one point, you were like, don't worry, guys, I got this. I'm just going to take out easy. I'm just going to pull out easy. And they're like, action. And you're like, whoa! And everybody's like, oh, and you're like, dude, it's a car.
I did. I like driving those fast cars. We always had fast cars for Lex, and I always wanted to drive them, at least in the beginning, and then I didn't give a shit. I'm like, no, I'll be in my trailer. Go ahead, drive it. That night, Lana meets up with Clark in his barn and opens her heart, proceeding to make out with him. However, it turns out to be Tina shape-shifting as Lana, who then pushes Clark out of the barn and onto his truck. Now, this is a scene that I really liked. And, you know, everybody comes in the barn. Clark, it's your dad. Clark, it's your mom. Lana, everybody comes into this barn. Lex, it's like, dude, can I have some effing privacy here? I was having a super pounding.
It's literally my fortress of solitude.
and everybody comes in there.
But was this the first time you kissed Kristen?
I would think so. I was thinking about that because I forgot what that scene was. And I'm watching it this morning and I was like, hey, what? Like, I was just as surprised that that the kissing was happening. And then the shape-shifting, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, and I remember this.
Yeah. And Tina is on to you, hence why she comes over and she wants to say, hey, you know, get out of my life or whatever. She thought she ends you by throwing you. Little does she know you've got superpowers and you're not going to die from being tossed out of a barn. But was it, do you remember, you know, because Kristen was probably 18, you were 23. So,
17 or 18, yeah.
So she probably hadn't done a kissing scene before, had she? Do you remember her talking about it?
She was on some other TV show right before. Edgewood?
Edgemont.
Edgemont? So I never saw it. Maybe she did have those scenes before.
Was it your first kiss?
No, I was on a show called Judging Amy.
Yes.
But I think part of it was Kristen playing... She was pretending to be Lana, you know what I mean? So it didn't need to be so, I don't know.
It looked like it was pretty, like, baby. You know, like she went after you because maybe Tina has never really kissed a boy and maybe she was, you know, like she said, unpopular. And maybe she just was like, I'm getting some.
Well, she did the same thing with Whitney.
She did the same thing with Whitney. She really got it going. So that was a character thing. And I thought that kind of worked. But, you know, was it uncomfortable for Lana to play that, for Kristen to play that? We'll have to ask her sometime.
Ask her.
You know, Lana meets up with Chloe working on the torch, looks at the looking for records from her mother's time in, at Smallville High. However, her mother's graduation speech is missing. Back at the Luther Mansion, Lex strong arms Roger Nixon by promising to wipe his identity if he doesn't control the Luther narrative in the newspaper and also help him dig into Clark Kent and how his car crash didn't end tragically. That was a surprise. I didn't remember that scene. But it was, you know, Ryan asked me before we started talking, like, he's like, was that at the mansion? Did he just keep this room with these floodlights? You know, I'm like, yeah, I guess so. I don't know. He could have had better lighting in there, but,
Well, I like the choice that you did
when you, at the end of that scene where you basically have control of him and you made a choice where you threw follow me over your shoulder, which, you know, a lot of times in television, especially actors, editors don't like it when you turn around and say a line the other way because they feel like they have to go around and cover it, which is 15, 20 minutes, 45 minutes to get that shot. But it was such a strong choice and so such a status move that, you know, you don't have to look at him.
Yeah.
So I thought it was an interesting acting choice.
You know what I liked is when I'm shooting pool, I probably didn't sync 80% of those things, but they make the sound of the like they're like I'm hitting every one of them. Every time you see me shooting pool, boom. Occasionally, maybe the editor didn't like me because I could hear it missing, hitting off a wall. I'm going, you fuck, Lex Luthor doesn't miss. So this is a scene. So first, Clark and Lana have a front porch conversation about their respective parent memories. And I thought this was a touching moment. I thought, what did she say to you? She asked you a question.
It was something about what would you ask your parents?
But what I remember about that scene is it being such a long scene.
Like I was really nervous going into that scene. It's
a long scene with this love interest. You know, there's a lot going on. There's a point in there where I flub a line, but because of the shot, I guess they didn't have any other option. It's in there. I did like a double talk over my line.
And it's in the movie. I don't
remember that.
Oh, yeah. I heard it. You said don't twice, right?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't hear that.
Because they were trying to get so much of it in these long moving shots, and I guess they didn't have coverage, and they just had to use it. I mean, it kind of comes across as endearing, but I remember being like, this is one of the longest dialogue scenes I've had so far.
So you were nervous because it was like you hadn't had to talk that much.
Right, but here's the best part. Clark should be nervous at the same time, so I kind of tried to go with it.
Yeah, I think you did go with it. I think it works.
Yeah.
Clark and Pete, this is the scene I had the most problems with. Clark and Pete go to investigate Tina's antique store and discover Tina's mother hidden in an armoire and his x-ray vision. First of all, it's fine that you go, let's go in there. It's like, why? I just have a hunch. Okay, I'll suspend disbelief on that. But then all of a sudden they go in, they open this thing and the body's there and Pete goes, damn, who's that? It was like, that's the reactions. Both of you are not that scared. It's a dead body. You're in Smallville. He's like, oh my God. Oh my God. The reaction. And they left that. They didn't want a bigger reaction. I was like, damn, who's that?
Another dead mom.
I made a note. I was like, what the fuck? I mean, I guess, I don't know. He was always fun to work with. He always, you know, what I remember about Sam Jones III is he always worked really hard. He wanted to be good. He always wanted the scenes to be better. So I always appreciated that. And he was always concerned. He was always, hey, it's got to be better. Let me do it again. What do you remember about working with Sam?
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Same.
he was just, we would have so much fun, but you're right. He would have this, you know, you had this ability. I've said this before. You would joke around and bounce around and whatever. And then, you know, they'd be like, rolling action. And you could jump right in.
Yeah.
I couldn't really do that. Sam really couldn't do that. Like, he would always need to be like, you know, he wouldn't tell everybody to shut up, but he would be like, leave me alone. The camera's about to roll. I need to zone in. And I do remember, but when we did walk and talks and there was movement, totally more comfortable. But to get him to stand still was, and I would always kind of like fuck with him a little bit, you know, because I knew he was uncomfortable.
Good.
Which is probably really nice, yeah.
I remember you, Pete, and the three of us, we went to see Seinfeld. Your agent got us tickets to go watch Seinfeld live. And we went, and afterwards we got mobbed and the three of us just took off running. We just took off running, we found each other like streets away. I mean, at the show, we didn't realize the impact it had yet. And now we were seeing, I'm like, we were on set the next day going, they chased us. People were chasing us. There was a mob scene. We're like, oh my gosh, this show's a hit. It was crazy.
I know. We were so scared. People were like, can we get a picture? We're like, ah, we ran.
Oh my gosh. We didn't know what to do. It was just so many people. And they were kind of like, some of them were a little bit abrasive. So we were like, all right, we got to get out of here. I think you kind of took off and I just followed your lead. I don't remember what it was. All right. Tina's mother. So Lana visits her parents' grave site. There she is again, visiting her parents' grave site at night. Why does she have to do this? But she does. And she's confronted by Whitney, who proceeds to harass her about her dead parents, takes her necklace, and then puts her in a tomb inside a mausoleum so Tina can take her life.
Yeah. She wants to be Lana. She's gonna pretend to be Lana from now on.
I had a problem here too. My problem was that she choked her out for about 4 seconds. Did you notice that, Ryan?
Yeah.
It was like 4 seconds of choking and she's passed out. She's like, yeah. Oh.
Keep in mind, this guy directed Muppets before, so, you know.
And now he's dead. Way to bring that up.
R.I.P.
Way to bring that up.
I'll tell you a funny story about that night. So when Clark breaks open the whatever you call it that Lana's trapped in, right? That was at like 4:30 in the morning. They're like, the sun's coming up in 45 minutes. We don't have any time. So I go up there and they're like, you're going to punch this thing. Don't worry. It's like scored on the back. It's going to break. And I was like kind of testing it. And I was like, guys, I don't really feel comfortable doing this. And my stunt double is like, well, you know, they can just, you know, do an insert and hit it. And I remember the special effects guy was like, what do you think? It's not going to break. You don't think I know how to do my job? And I'm like, sir, I just don't. And he goes, watch. This thing did not break.
It didn't break.
He punched this thing. It didn't break. And he was like, oh, ow. And I think I don't think we ever saw him again.
He didn't come back, did he?
Yeah.
I don't think he came That's back. Amazing. So, of course, Clark shows up and saves the day, gets in a fight with Whitney, which was a pretty aggressive fight. Throws him into one of those plots, right?
That was a big deal. Breaking all those things that night, that took 4 hours, that fight sequence.
It was good. It was a good scene. What do you think, Ryan? You're thinking right now.
No, it was a good scene. I was thinking... just from a character standpoint, what does that feel like for Clark to beat up the boyfriend of the girl that he loves?
It's, you know, I don't think Clark ever went there because Clark had this thing of and he said it's in a, what's the episode with Dan?
Hothead.
He says, you need help. And that was always like a big thing in these sequences for Clark. It's like, hey, you know, you're not yourself. You need help. Let me help you. I don't think there's, unless it was like Red Clark, which we don't get to for a couple seasons, who's like, oh, great. You just gave me an excuse to beat your ass.
Right,
you.
Right.
You know
what I liked about this scene is when Clark does his X-ray vision and now he's learned how to focus a little more. He's getting the hang of it. And we see these bodies in coffins throughout the cemetery. I thought that was kind of creepy and cool that you got to see the dead bodies lying in there. And then boom, he sees Lana's. And there she is, and he saves the day once again. And that would probably get us to save number. Are you guys listening? Are you guys watching? Are you adding it up? Let's put this number down. Seventh save of the series so far. We're through four. Clark saved seven. Six have died. Put that down in your books. So at the end, Tina gets apprehended, and later that night, Lana receives her mother's cassette graduation speech on cassette from Chloe, while Clark looks on jealously at Whitney and Lana. And it's a very emotional scene at the end. I could see, I mean, you feel for Clark. You feel, you're like, you know, he's a good guy and he uses his X-ray vision, and we see Whitney and Lana. And I thought that was nice. And he's like, when is it going to happen? And I know the audience is probably going, leave this guy, go with Clark.
Well, it's funny, Ryan, you were talking about the cemetery a second ago, and I did see a missed opportunity when Whitney, as far as we know, it's Whitney in the cemetery. Clark says, where's Lana? And he says, she's dead. And there's really not much of a reaction from Clark. Like, you would think he would. No! There's nothing.
No.
There's, like, nothing.
No.
So.
That's amazing. Interesting things of note. You talked about it. You committing the classic peeping Tom into the girls' locker room with X-ray vision. Tom. Peeping Tom. The stunts in the episode were great. The lady falling down the stairs, Clark falling for the barn, the pickup drifting through the town, almost hitting Martha, trying to kill Lana, laying at her parents' gravesite is a pretty savage move. I didn't realize that, but, you know, trying to kill Lana Lang at her parents' gravesite, pretty crazy. Cool quotes. What happened to the girl who didn't care what people thought of her? She went to high school. And if you could see anything, which Clark asks Martha, what would you do? And she says, learn to close my eyes. Thought that was pretty cool. Highlights and lowlights. We've talked about some of the things that made me laugh. And I thought, you know, the reactions, the, you know, damn, she's dead. Who's that?
Well, you guys weren't looking at a dead body at the time, right?
Too far, just... Tom?
Laughing. I'm laughing when every time you do that, it makes me laugh. Because I can, I know.
Damn. Damn. Who's that?
Well, you guys were looking at like some tape on the floor, right? There was no, like,
yeah, there wasn't a dead person. there was
nothing to look at.
Yeah, that's true. I guess that's part of it, right? They're like, damn.
Well, and sometimes, you know, sometimes you're limited. Like, they're like, okay, here's your marks for this scene. And you're like, okay. And then they're like, action. And it's like, okay, the dead body falls and you're not allowed to move. There's no time for you to move. So you kind of have to do what you can. But yeah,
nothing to say that. I just can't stop laughing at Sam.
All right. So what would you say I don't want you to say the highlights because that's going to give me probably an idea and Tom and I of what your favorite scene was. So if you go through the highlights, Ryan, right now, then I'll know. But what would you say, Tom, or some of the lowlights where you're just like, eh, that was kind of cheesy. That didn't work. Was there a lot of those? Were there?
I think something that they didn't show was just, you know, we finally see the Smallville Police Department show up.
yes, we did. Good job, guys.
And I just felt it was a little underwhelming, the whole idea that, you know, she was just kind of going around and bullying and beating up all these people and, like, kind of getting away with it. And, you know, at the end, she just goes too far. She flew too close to the sun.
Who was it who flew too close to the sun?
Icarus.
That's right. Icarus flew too close to the sun. You know, I'm just going to read these. So these are highlights and lowlights. I would say stunts were highlights. I like a little B storyline with Lex Luthor. I like that's now going somewhere. We have a story that's hopefully going somewhere with the Roger Nixon character, the journalist. He's going to find out he's on to Clark a little bit. This is what the audience likes. This is what they need. I believe as an audience member, now watching it with that perspective, I'm like, oh, I want to see what happens with that. I don't remember a lot of things that happened in this episode from watching it years ago, but I thought the acting was pretty good. I thought your relationship, you know?
My two favorite moments are the one where I smile at you and I say a real mastermind would have worn a mask, because I knew that was just you and me, as I said before. And the other one is Jonathan Kent pulling his pocket knife out of his pocket and being so earnest about, you know, you can see through my hand. You know,
yes.
You know, that was funny. That was.
You know what else was funny? I don't know if you noticed. You're in the Kent kitchen. Jonathan says, referring to your X-ray vision, he says, practice, son. And then as he walks over to you, putting his hand in his pocket for a pocket knife, which we don't know what he's going to get, he says, look, son, practice. Start with something small, as he goes into his pocket and into his pants. Start with something small. And it looks like he's reaching into his pants to whip it out. And then it's his knife. So I was kind of like, I laughed. I go, ha! Did anybody else see that? Did you not notice that?
I didn't.
You didn't notice Brian?
No, I didn't notice that either.
Damn you guys. Why is my mind pervy? I don't know.
Well, another thing is
as John Schneider is walking around that table, you can see him moving for camera, not getting too wide around the corner
and kind of staying in frame and all those sort of moves he has.
Yeah.
To not make the camera move too much. And then
I think that smile was something that I just did because they just didn't I don't remember ever seeing anywhere in a script like, and then Clark smiles. Like nobody, they don't write that stuff.
Right.
It's not on this show.
I like when Lex is drinking the whiskey, not to toot my own horn. I just like this scene where he says he's going to make Roger Nixon disappear. And I thought the actor was really good. I think it was a Canadian actor who played Roger. And it's the first time we really get to see Lex being a badass. I like that. I think we needed that because he's so nice. He's looking after Clark. He's showing up. He's drinking coffee at Lana's place. And it's just kind of like, okay, what is this guy doing? He's kind of a creeper kind of walking around. And now he's got some agenda. Now we see that potentially dark side of Lex, which I really dug.
Well, in Power, I mean, and that scene is interesting because he's got to convince the reporter that he's not bluffing.
Right. Very true.
And you as an actor have to prove to the audience that you're not bluffing. So
that you mean business.
I thought it was cool. The cell phone being turned off. I thought that was a good beat.
Yeah.
Which helps sell it too. So.
And I think, you know, at times it could be a little Hardy Boys. You know, I like that Chloe is more involved in the episodes. That becomes more apparent as we go along. But I think she does a really good job. I think Allison is really, she's a good actress, you know, and we know what happened to her, so we don't have to get into that.
Yeah.
Well, we could, but we just don't have to do it right now. And my favorite moment probably is, damn, who's that? and the barely choking of Lana also. But again, I did get choked up at the end. I did get choked up at the end. And I would say, so ultimately, here's, by the way, some questions. Now, remember, I told you, all you have to do is call this number, 213-538-2883. That's 213-538-2883. Leave your questions. Make them 20 to 30 seconds at most of the episode that we're going to watch so we could play them and answer your questions. Make them good questions. If you watch the episode and then call the number and leave a question, chances are the question is going to be better. So random questions don't work for me as well. I want to hear people with real questions. So here's one from Michelle. This episode seems to grow the plot line of everyone being suspicious of Lex because of the misdeeds of his father. Do you think with a different father, we would have turned into the same villain? He would have turned into the same villain people portray him as. I think that's a good question. I've answered that, but no, I think if he had Jonathan Kent as a father, I don't think he would have become evil at all. Tom?
Well, I remember you bringing this up while we were shooting the series. I mean, if it just so happened that Lionel found Clark and Jonathan found Lex in that field, of course he would have known probably it's Lex Luthor and returned him to his father.
very true.
Yeah. Nature versus nurture. I mean, that's a big thing of, I don't know if Clark ever wanted Lionel as a father, but I think there might be a little bit of
nostalgia for Lex looking at Jonathan and then Clark having a family and, you know, a support system that tried to get him to grow where Lex had the opposite.
Lex didn't have anything like that. So, yeah, I think it would have been completely different. Good question. Jerry C., normally we play these, but today we couldn't. Jerry C., if you guys could have real X-ray vision, what would you use it for? Huh. Ryan, what would you use it for?
I have to think about that. Real X-ray vision?
I would use it to look at all my friends to see if there's any cancer or anything that needs to be taken care of or paid attention to. Say, hey, you have a little lump over there. You might want to get that checked out.
That's so nice because you know what came to my head?
What?
All I could think was to find my phone.
how stupid is that?
That's good, though. No, looking for lost keys and wallets.
Yeah. Looking for like if you got a rat problem, look through some walls. There's a little bastard.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you do. And you go, my first response would be when I see the rat, would be, damn.
looking in the fridge to figure out what you need at the grocery store.
Wait a minute. You can just open it. Santiago, any behind the scenes insights on what it was like to shoot the X-ray vision, Tom? Because this is the first time you're trying to figure it out. So what was it like? How much do you squint? What is
that? I wonder if that's Santiago, our buddy from South America.
It probably is. Hey, Santiago. Where in the hell is Carmen Santiago?
Yeah. I remember the first time we did it was the scene where Clark looks through the locker to find the money in Tina Greer's locker. And which I don't know if that's illegal or not, but that's not really part of the show. But I remember just, again, you know, everything's moving around. They're like, okay, you stay in here. Here's the locker. And you good to go? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, action. And I realized, oh, I got to figure out what X-ray vision looks like right now. And I just kind of was like, I guess quickly I just realized I was just trying to see what was in the locker. And then I saw money in there. You know, it was very simple, like a focus thing. So there wasn't a lot of choreography or meetings about it. It was more like, okay, you have extra vision. I was like, okay. And then we kind of just, you know, that little focus thing or like these little movements then stayed with Clark. We really didn't use X-ray vision maybe ever again on the show.
You did.
I don't remember.
Yeah, you did. In my episode of Freak, you did for sure. Cause you see the chip in Chloe's arm. You know what I just thought of? You know how many times we go to conventions, Tom, and people will come up to go, remember an episode, blah, 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 or this one. And we're like, I don't know. I don't remember any of this. Now we're going to remember. Now we're really going to have a conversation with these people. Of course I remember. We talked about it 2 weeks ago on the podcast.
We got chased away from the Seinfeld
set. We got chased away. We ran all the way through Vancouver. It was raining. I don't know. This is fun. What would you, now here's the thing. What would you rank this? Let's go with Tom first. Three roses being the best. You could use halves. Three bombs being the worst. And right down the middle is a heater. That's the right down the middle. No bombs, no roses.
I think because of the amount of character development and the stunts, which for me were things I was figuring out then. But I think the episode stands up for character. So I would give it 1.5. I don't know if this is the episode I would show someone to say, you got to watch this episode and you'll understand why you have to watch the series.
It could be, but I don't know. You know what? This is the first time we agree. I think I'm going to give it 1.5. 1 to 1.5 roses. You know, just to be a dick, I'm going to give 1. I'm going to give 1 rose. Ryan?
0 is the middle now?
0 is the middle.
I'm going to give it 1.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it 1.
So 1 for me, 1 for Ryan, 1.5. What did you guys give it? I'd like to see with the little emojis or whatever, you could put like 2 roses and 1/2 a rose. I don't know how you do the halves. You could put 2 and then a 1 over the 2. Anyway, I'd love to hear on the Twitter and the Instagram. I'd like to see what you guys thought. How many roses or how many bombs? Did you hate this episode? If so, why? I like to hear these things. So, you know, this is the time where Ryan has now, we've decided.
Pick 3.
We are now trying to guess what Ryan's favorite scene was. Tom and I are now 0-0 after 3 episodes. This is the 4th, but he's going to make it a little easier. So he's going to give us 3 choices and we're going to choose. And you can choose 2 and you can tell me if you were right. So let's go, Ryan.
All right. For me, the ones that that stood out were the opening with not Lex Luthor robbing the bank.
That one?
That's 1.
Okay. By the way, don't scream out because that was 1. So we're going to, on the count of 3, Tom, you and I will go. It'll be 1, 2, 3, 3 or whatever. You know what I mean? According to what he,
paper, scissors. Okay.
Yep, here we go.
Number 2 is gym class with the rope climbing.
Oh, yeah.
And number 3 is when Tina morphs in.
This can't be your favorite because you can't even describe it.
Yeah.
When Tina morphs into Lana and then confronts Clark in his Fortress of Solitude that is not his Fortress of Solitude, as we've discovered.
All right. So on the count of 3, it's going to be 1, 2, 3, and then the number you've chosen.
Yeah.
Okay. Tom, are you ready?
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 2.
2.
It's 3.
It is 3. You suck.
Well, I like three. I wanted to pick a Lizzie Caplan scene because I am a fan of hers. And this was cool. It showed her villain powers. It was evil and manipulative. You sort of saw Clark kiss Lana and then get deceived. And then it was also, you know, the villain and Clark showdowns are usually pretty fun. And that was where you get to see it.
And I didn't really see it coming. I should have seen it coming. But when Lana goes in and makes out with Clark until she becomes a little aggressive. That's like, that's not Lana.
And you get to see Kristen sort of play like a little bit, like a darker, like bit and do something a little bit more riskier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. And she probably appreciated that too.
Yeah.
She didn't like the fluff. Correct, Tom?
That's correct.
So at the end of four episodes, seven people have been saved. Six are dead. The next episode, because that's pretty much it for this episode. Ultimately, we all kind of like this episode. We all gave it one rose or one and a half for Tom. But please stick around for next week as we chill out and we talk about episode number five. And that episode is called Cool. So I have my thoughts already about this episode, just remembering it. I vaguely remember this episode. But let's see what we think. Let's go back.
I don't remember at all.
I mean, I don't remember. I just remember... I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say a word. But let's take the discussion online. Let's know your thoughts over the episode. Go to our socials, Talkville Podcast on everything except for, what is it? Talkville Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, and Talkville Pod on Twitter. Follow us on Patreon. We really appreciate it. The Patreons, it's right here. It will tell you what visually if you're on YouTube. And support the podcast in other ways. I'll write a message to you after. Thanks for supporting it. Also, if you want to, you could check out my podcast. I interview people like Tom. It's called Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. A lot of great guests. So follow us on there and listen. Support that podcast, if you will. I hope they like it. Tom, how do you feel after four episodes?
I mean, this is fun. I mean, it's all fun for me. And I get to hang out with you. So
yeah. It is. It is fun. Ryan, you enjoying this?
So that props guy never got to come back, the one about the grave?
I didn't do it. It's not that I did anything. I just don't ever remember seeing him again. I think it was a couple things. One, his prop didn't work. Two, I hate to say it this way, but like the way he talked to the actor, because
it's pretty arrogant.
I don't think you're supposed to do that if you're in the prop department. So yeah. But it also helped me understand, like, you do got to speak up for yourself sometimes to protect yourself in these circumstances, because we went, you know, 9 more years doing this stuff.
And yeah.
You got to watch out for yourself on set.
Yeah. What's the episode coming up that I become president of the United States in the flashback?
Oh, I think that's a ways away, isn't it?
Is it?
I think it's one I directed.
No, Beeman directed that one.
Oh, but I was there when they gave you the fake speech.
No, that was a different one. That was later on. But we did an early episode where the flowers die and blood rains from heaven.
Oh.
I forgot which episode that was on. But that was, I can't wait till that comes, because that might, I remember liking that a lot. Ooh, that's cool. That's cool. And the effects were really good, but I don't know how much they hold up. I just don't know how much. Also, you can follow me at the Michael Rosenbaum. Also, Tom, where can they follow you?
I'm on Instagram, and I think I have a Twitter, but I don't know.
Is it just Tom Welling, at Tom Welling?
Yeah.
And what's Ryan's Instagram?
I'm at Tayez Ryan everywhere.
T-E-L-L-E-Z Ryan, R-Y-A-N.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That's me.
Well, maybe you're going to get a lot of followers now. I do
so much posting.
But maybe you get a lot of followers, and they want you to post now.
Yeah, what would I post? This?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess you could post it. Hey, this has been a real treat. I hope you guys continue to listen to us and have fun. We're enjoying this. I hope you are. And if you have any ideas about what we should do, please Twitter and Instagram us, right?
Like, subscribe, comment. Isn't that what people say?
Like, subscribe, comment.
Smash that like button.
Smash that like button, baby. That's it, man. Thanks for listening to Talkville. I am Michael Rosenbaum with
Tom Welling
and
Ryan Tate.
And that's it. Okay. And we had a blast. We'll see you next week when we discuss Cool. Make sure you watch it. Get your questions in on that hotline number. And thanks for supporting us. Thanks for watching the show with us again. See ya. Don't think we forgot our patrons, our lovable patrons who support the podcast in so many ways. Thank you for becoming a patron. Go to patreon.com/talkville and help the show. Thanks for listening. And here are the shout outs to our lovable patrons. Let's start it out with Nikki G, Leanne P, Raj C,
Santiago M, Suzanne B, Leah S,
Corey M, Callie D, Tom T,
Mark A, AJ underscore 800, Sophie M, Betsy D,
Liliana, Liliana A, that is, Abby P, Meg K, Chris F,
Kimberly E, Jeremy V, Michael Hall, just kidding, Michael H,
Ray H, Karen M, Design OTG,
Danielle B, 99 more, Liliani N.
That's Liliani again.
I do that every time.
It's okay. Catherine P, Brett G, Super Sam, Always S,
Farrell T, yes you are, Ken J, Jeff E, and Esteban G.
This is DJ Kento, Garrett W, Just J,
Taylor H, Kimberly L, FR.G.
I think it's Tyler H, not Taylor. And that's, you're right, FR.G, Fra-G. Teresa, Justin S, Eric W, Tom N,
Juan V, Tony V, Rodolfo J, and Jason W, Nancy D, and Michael finish us up.
Megan H. Hi, Megan. Arton K. Arton? I haven't heard of an Arton, but I like it. Arton K. Justin T. and Lucio. We couldn't thank you more. Thank you for the support and love. We want to continue doing this, and we can't do it without your support. Patreon.com/talkville. We'll see you next week.